That was the press conference for the coronavirus task force. Unlike some other media outlets, we proudly carry the full press conference, including questions coming from the press. We say that because there was some controversy earlier today. The Washington Examiner put out a piece about KUOW, which is a competitor station. It is a local NPR station that's as insufferable as most NPR stations tend to be. They have a tendency to get very upset when anything conservative goes on their air. So they announced yesterday, and via a vulgar tweet from one of their reporters calling Trump's press conferences horse bleep, the NPR account put out a tweet saying that they would not carry any of the press conference because of the tendency, they say, of half-truths and lies, something like that. So, of course, they got dunked on nationally, including by folks on the left saying that that's not appropriate, that if you're mad that you have to fact check the president in your view, oh, I'm sorry, you're not doing your jobs. No, that it has nothing to do with fact checking. It has everything to do with the fact that Gallup has a new poll out. This is what I think. Gallup has a new poll out that shows 60% of Americans approve of President Trump's handling of the coronavirus. And a lot of that has to do, I think, with these press conferences he's been doing every single day. These press briefings, I think, have been very, very effective. He's out there. He does what he does already, what he does best, which is kind of have some fun, make some jokes, get combative when he needs to. But he also gives us some very clear information, and he makes a lot of sense. This idea that the president wants to kill people at the just to boost the stock market is absolutely ludicrous. He is saying what every single person should be saying right now in a position of power, which is we want to look at the data and we want to get back to normal as quickly as humanly possible. He has made it over and over and over again. He has said he would like to see this get done nationally, not in every single state, but he wants to get this country back to an economic strong footing by April, by Easter. He's not saying that he guarantees it's going to happen. He keeps saying that he's going to listen to the actual doctors, to the public health experts. The public health experts over and over and over again, despite what folks at KUOW will have you believe, despite what the media will have you believe in general, have said over and over and over again that he is listening to them. So the Gallup poll shows 60% approval of President Trump's response to the coronavirus. When you look at how the Congress is doing, I think they were in the 30s, maybe early 40s. So the president is outpacing. He is outpacing the actual Congress on this. And that ticks off and concerns a lot of media members who want this to go on as long as humanly possible, not because they care about you. They give the appearance of caring about you. It's because they know the longer this goes on, they think it could hurt the chances of the president getting reelected. I don't even know if that's true. I wonder if the longer this goes on, the American public says maybe we should stick with the guy who's been in charge this entire time because we don't want to switch gears right in the middle of things, right when we think we have this under control. Now, there are, of course, some people panicked today. We are mere hours away at midnight. We have the stay-at-home order fully implemented. Remember, the governor gave us until tonight at midnight from a business perspective to get everything in order. What it essentially means is if you don't work for an essential business, you're going to have to close down. You're not going to be able to go into the office. You can't continue to work if you can do it via telecommuting, if you can do it digitally. The businesses that were already closed down before this remain closed down. The businesses like restaurants, they still remain open in a limited capacity. Grocery stores remain open. Right now, there's a run on guns. In fact, I was just talking to producer Peyton during one of the press briefings. It's like, what would you say? Around now, you're starting to think about it.
Yeah, why not? So, seems like the right time.
It for a lot of people, it does. Because look, crazy people do crazy things during crazy times, and we're in crazy times, and we know that we're surrounded by crazy people.
And I'm crazy.
Well, you're less crazy, but you're part of the crazy crowd as well. Maybe you shouldn't get a gun, but we'll push that aside and have that conversation later. I will say that there are lots of people who are going in trying to purchase their weapons, realizing the governor is about to close down gun shops in Washington state.
It was overwhelming, and it was unexpected, and it was sudden. Hey, I need a handgun. I need a shotgun. They're just, all of a sudden, they're interested in having something for protection. We're out of a lot of inventory now. There are a lot of people in the waiting queue.
That's Jason Casey's. He is the owner of Low Price Guns in Bellevue. He was talking with Q13. He said, look, he's getting a ton of new business right now.
It's a lot of first-time buyers, very uncertain times right now, and it gives people a sense of being able to, it gives people the ability to protect themselves, and that's something that is, it's important for a lot of people right now.
It is, because you know what's happening right now? You have police departments not allowed to book most misdemeanor crimes, most misdemeanor charges. You've got a small group of misdemeanor charges that they're still going to allow. And of course, they're still going to go with the felony charges. But they're not going to book, which means prolific offenders, for example, don't spend any time behind bars after they commit a crime, which means they're out in the public committing another crime. So people want to protect themselves. Under the rules by the governor, gun shops are not considered essential businesses. You know what are? You know what would be? Planned Parenthood. Elective abortion clinics can still operate. Pot shops can still operate. But when it comes to your Second Amendment right to own a gun for personal protection or because you just want to, that right goes away temporarily, at least in part. Yes, you can still shop online, that is true, but as a lot of folks have mentioned over the course of the last couple days, you can't go into certain places to get fingerprinting for concealed carry because they've closed those offices down. You can't go ahead and pick up, let's say you were waiting to pick up your gun tomorrow, you don't get to do that. And so this clearly impacts some of your rights. Now, if you want to help me shine a spotlight on that, text the keyword RANTZ, R-A-N-T-Z, to 1-800-465-8770. Text RANTZ to 1-800-465-8770. You're listening to The Jason Rants Show. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending at home?
Joe Chocolate Company infuses coffee into chocolate. This is a business that I first learned about several years ago when I had their co-workers, co-owners in studio to help get the word out. Well, now they've grown. But like a whole bunch of businesses all across the state, they are being deeply impacted by the coronavirus outbreak. They had to close their doors, at least temporarily, on their Pike Place Market shop. But they're still actually operating. In fact, right now, they're trying to ship cases of Joe chocolate to healthcare workers all across the state, from CHI, Franciscan, Bonnie Lake, and Providence, Monroe, to Virginia Mason, Bainbridge Island, and Kaiser Silverdale. Samuel Tanner is the owner. He joins me now. Sam, welcome back to the show, about 3 years after the first time.
Yeah, it's been a little bit, but really happy to be here.
So how did this all come about?
So, I mean, we all know what's going on with coronavirus. And Peter and I were, Peter's my co-founder. We were kind of looking at our business, and Pike Place is just such a heavily trafficked area. Even this time, with what's going on right now, there's still enough people down there that we were getting a little nervous for our staff, just health and safety, and didn't want to lend any fuel to the fire as far as COVID-19 was going. So we decided to shut down our retail location, which was definitely hard on our business. And we started looking at our wholesale operation, which we has a very small number of employees. So we felt like it was safe to operate it, but we started thinking about how did we want to have a bigger impact? What did we want to do that could actually benefit the community as opposed to just trying to make it through this pandemic for ourselves, but really think about what is our business good at that could help others. And so I had dropped off some chocolate to a friend of mine who works at the emergency clinic in Ballard. And I just dropped off some chocolate to them, and I saw the nurse's eyes light up when I walked in. These two guys were sitting there screening people, and they're like, oh my gosh, what's this? I was like, chocolate, you know, we've got tons of it. It's kind of what we do, but we have too much where it's not moving very quickly at the moment. So I figured you all could use it more than we can. And the exact quote was, I would love to take that off your hands. And that's when I realized that caffeine, chocolate, calories, this is exactly what our friends in the healthcare industry really need right now. They need the energy. They need the additional calories. They need the pick-me-up. And so we rolled out a really easy way for our customers to be able to buy chocolate on from their couch that they are working on at home. and ship chocolate anywhere they right now. So we basically have a long list of hospitals over Seattle area, and I think we're going to start opening it up to other states pretty soon. We've gotten a lot of requests down in Oregon. I have some people in Nevada who've been really interested in what we're doing. Our goal is at wholesale price. So we keep the lights on at Joe, but give our customers the most bang for their buck when it comes to supporting people out there in the healthcare.
Yeah, and Sam, I think that's a big point to make, that you're selling this at wholesale. $54 sends a lot of chocolate that includes shipping to one of these hospitals that you can either pick from their long list of hospitals, or you could just let Sam and his team actually figure out where they're going to send it. This is a good way to help support a local business while also helping to support by donating the chocolate, essentially, to these healthcare workers who are on the front lines in fighting the coronavirus crisis right now. And you know what? Sometimes a little bit of chocolate mixed in with some coffee goes a really long way. JoeChocolateCo.com is the place to go for your for hopefully your willingness to give $54 to a great cause that, again, not only helps a local business stay open, but also benefits the healthcare workers. I ended up sending mine about an hour ago to CHI Franciscan in Puyallup because we got a lot of fans and listeners in Puyallup. That's what I could do. How hard right now, Sam, is business been hit?
Pretty tremendously. So this is right when the cruise ships start arriving in Pike Place, and we're basically looking at thousands and thousands of customers that we're not going to be able to take through our Pike Place market location. And even on the wholesale side of our business, a lot of our business went to office spaces. We'd ship cases of our chocolate to office spaces and other things that aren't grocery stores. So our grocery accounts are doing pretty well, but that doesn't actually make up most of our wholesale business. So business is slow. Business is really slow. And this is definitely keeping the employees that we've maintained, and myself and Peter and our small team, this is keeping us alive.
Sam Tanner is the co-owner, co-founder of Joe Chocolate Company. Again, the website, joechocolateco.com. Join me. It's $54. You send a whole bunch of chocolate that's infused with coffee. And by the way, this stuff is really, really good. You send it to healthcare workers all across the state. You can pick out individual hospitals you want to send to, or you can just let their team send a package on your behalf to a hospital in need. How has Pike Place Market been about rental space and all that during this time?
So this whole process has been a pretty heartwarming experience, both with what the community at Pike Place, the different vendors that we get to work with on the retail and wholesale side of our business. There's a lot of camaraderie going on. A lot of options are opening for businesses, grants and loans. I mean, even Amazon is giving out money to small businesses in the Bellevue and Seattle area. While this is hard on everybody, there's also the silver lining that a lot of the best parts of humanity are coming out when it's needed most.
Again, joechocolateco.com. Go there now, $54. Buy some chocolate at wholesale. Shipping is included. They're not making a ton of money off of this. They're doing this so they can help keep the lights on, essentially, pay the rent, but also helping out the healthcare community. They're sending the chocolate that you purchase out into different hospitals all across the state of Washington. They're looking to expand it outside. And by the way, if you just want to buy chocolate for yourself, that's also okay. It's called Joe Chocolate Company, joechocolateco.com. We'll have more information up on our Twitter and Facebook page as well. Sam, my friend, thank you so much for stopping by. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, really fun to talk to you.
Absolutely. You're listening to The Jason Rand Show. When we come back, we're going to go and take a look at the big local, meaning we ignore Seattle, and instead we focus stories exclusively in the communities you live in. We're going to get into that when we come back. It's The Jason Rand Show.
Tacoma, Bremerton, Bothell.
This is the Big Local on the Jason Rand Show.
Redmond, Sumner, Kent.
Stories about you, not about Seattle.
Hey, look at the time. 4:30 on a weekday afternoon. That means it's time for the Big Local. Even during the coronavirus crisis, the media here is fixated on the city of Seattle, and they end up ignoring a lot of other cities in the region that are going through the same struggles as Seattle. They're just going through them in a slightly different way. So we are going to continue to check in with cities, large, medium, and small, all across Washington State, so they know that we've got their back. Joining us on the line is the mayor of Newcastle, Linda Newing. Mayor Newing, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jason. How are you?
I'm doing well. Like a lot of people, we're waiting for the midnight hit of the stay at home declaration. How so far has the city of Newcastle been able to cope with the changes as a result of the coronavirus?
Well, many of the decisions we've made in response to the COVID-19 pandemic have been difficult, but they are considered essential in order to keep our community safe and healthy during this unprecedented situation. Newcastle may be compact in size, but the fact that we have so many amenities within the city's mm-hmm. 4 square miles is certainly benefiting our community during this time.
Well, it's an incredibly close-knit community, as of course you know. My producer, of course, lives in Newcastle, so we show you guys some love whenever it is we can. What's some of the issues that you've experienced that you're trying to address right now?
Well, I'll tell you what we've done in response, and it's addressing, you know, in addition to how we're doing everyday business, it's keeping our people positive. You know, our city manager closed City Hall to the public back on March 16, and, you know, being in public service, that is not what we like to do. Earlier this week, he extended that closure through at least April 10, so another couple of weeks. Our staff has been teleworking for about a week, and most of our services and information are available to the public online. And they're able to manage their email and check voicemail for phone messages. So, you know, we feel any gaps to the public in responding to them are very little, if any. All of our city council and commission meetings have been conducted virtually using Zoom since March 11. We maintain opportunities for the public to submit public comment via email, Zoom chat, and phone. This includes the ability to provide the opportunity to comment during a recent public hearing we held during our March 17 council meeting. Mm-hmm. We've unfortunately closed our park playgrounds, our sports courts, and our picnic shelters, and all appropriate signage is posted just saying, I'm sorry, community, but for your health and safety right now, we can't maintain these facilities to a clean point, and we need to shut them down to you.
So, Mayor Newing,
with parks restroom,
have the public been understanding about all of this?
In all honesty, Jason, we are hearing, you know, definitely no upset responses, and we're really not hearing anything. They're very supportive.
Well, that's got to make life a little bit easier on you. If you're just joining us, by the way, we're talking live with the mayor of Newcastle, Linda Newing. Are there any concerns about the restaurants and smaller businesses there that are trying to operate?
Well, actually, I was just going to mention that. We are so proud of this venture that we launched on March 18. We launched NewcastleToGo.com. And most of our city restaurant establishments have posted their menus on this website and offered delivery and or takeout options. Also participating on the website are 3 new establishments which opened within the past couple of weeks of the peak of the coronavirus in our area. And I don't even know that we've reached a peak yet. And also included are 2 restaurants that are, you know, very popular in our neighboring community of Newport Hills.
Well, that's good that everyone's sort of coming together. And the reason why we like to check in with smaller communities and mid-sized communities, they often have some really good ideas that tend to go ignored. Last week, we talked with the mayor of Snohomish, John Kartak, who started the program of simply opening up a space in front of restaurants for curbside pickup. And then the very next day, the announcement was made in Seattle. So I love that you guys are doing that in Newcastle. Again, the website is newcastletogo.com. We've been talking with Mayor Linda Neuing. Mayor Neuing, thank you so much for stopping by. I really appreciate it.
Hey, thank you for the opportunity, and stay safe, stay healthy, and stay home.
Absolutely. Again, that was the Mayor Linda Neuing of the City of Newcastle. Meanwhile, we turn our attention to some of the other communities like Tacoma, where Tacoma Public Schools are now giving out study aids when kids or parents come up to pick up their free lunches or their free breakfasts from the school during this crisis. District spokesperson Alicia Lauver told Q13, Cairo 7 TV, a bunch of kids are coming in right now to get these lunches, so we might as well take the opportunity to give them some information that's going to keep them busy.
We have over 16,000 students on free and reduced price meals, and there's a lot of gratefulness, especially people who don't have cars and can't make it out here, so we're trying to get as close to people as we can.
So these packets that they're giving away are called enrichment packets, which is like...
It seems like a fake name when you need to make something sound good.
Enrichment?
Here's an enrichment pill. Oh, what does it do?
Okay, let's listen to Rosemary Burke. She is the principal over at First Creek Middle School. She says the packets, to be clear, don't replace the actual work that you're doing in the classroom. They're not meant as homeschooling tools. So what are they meant?
It keeps them busy and their brains going, and busy hands and busy minds are great things for kids.
You know, don't they resent the busy work? I'm just wondering. And maybe you remember this as an adult, as a child. Maybe you remember that. At what point do you hit that age where you're saying, okay, I know what it is you're doing. I know you find me to be a pain in the ass and I'm home when you don't expect me to be. But, stop condescending me with this Where's Waldo nonsense. You just put me in the front of the TV and get out of my face, Mom. At what age does that happen?
That's called teenage angst. And
so it's like 13?
Yeah.
It starts, okay. Because I get it. I mean, it's different if you've got like a kindergartner, right? Here's Angela Cannon talking with Cairo 7 TV. She's a mom of a kindergartner.
Kindergarten's a crucial time. Yeah, they try and put it away. It's just like summer break, but they need to learn.
I mean, do they? I'm going to take a slightly different position on this. Let kindergartners do whatever it is they want to do right now. I mean, control them,
you
want to
give them freedom? Then they can pay rent. How about that?
Okay,
bills are due on the first.
Okay, at this point, they're giving more to the household than a 13-year-old kid is. Because they're adorable and cute and everyone likes it. And everyone,
so you do like kids.
Well, to adults. I hate kids. I would never let a kindergartner in my house. And by the way, if you ever found out a kindergartner was in my house, immediately call 911. Because something bad. I must have kidnapped the kid and I'm trying to get like freebies from some business.
Something happened.
Something bad happened. Or they're lost and I'm not home. So, we kind of gone through this cycle and parents kind of raised these concerns over the course of the last probably 5-10 years. That's when I remembered it most, saying, we're giving kids a lot of homework in addition to the schoolwork that they're doing, and they don't really have enough time to be kids. And part of me rejects that thinking because I had to do all the homework when I was younger. But, part of me also understands that we're talking about a kindergartner. They're not out of class that much longer than they would normally be around this time. It's not like you're teaching kindergartners the same kind of book knowledge than you're teaching, say, a fourth grader. You're talking about socializing kids. And right now, you can't socialize kids the way you would normally do at that age. So just let them have fun. What do kids watch nowadays?
I don't know. Adventure Time? That might be one of those cartoons for grown-ups that I don't watch, but
Pikachu, is that still a thing? Pokemon?
There's a whole Netflix for that.
What's the gay dinosaur? The Barney. Remember that? Didn't
Barney's gay?
Didn't Jerry Falwell or someone say he was gay?
This is news to me.
Is that not true?
Is that a meme?
So let them go a little bit. Let's give them a little bit of a freedom to do their thing. A company in Mukilteo is stepping up in to help. Cass Tailored is known for making furniture and making seats for aerospace clients. But in the past few days, they have actually been sewing hospital material. You heard some of that content come up during the press conference that we held live, because we're not KEOW, with the coronavirus task force. They decided last week to step up because they heard Providence Health in Washington issued this pretty significant call for help. They said they weren't getting enough supplies at the time. They were running low on the masks. Here's, in fact, Providence spokesperson Jennifer Beiersdorfer talking to Kyra 7.
We think that at Providence, over the next 60 days, we need 10 million masks. And that need could grow if we begin to expand our protocols.
Now, of course, the federal government is stepping up. You heard Dr. Anthony Fauci. Remember, Democrats tell us to listen to the doctors. Well, Dr. Anthony Fauci said this is not really going to be an issue moving forward. But when he thought it was an issue, and of course, you can't... You can continue to help if you'd like. Dan Cass said he helped out pretty much immediately.
Said, hey, if you need help. And about 5 minutes later, she texted me back saying, yeah, we want to talk. And that was Wednesday. End of the day, Wednesday, there was a plan in place to visit us Thursday.
That's awesome. He says they are donating materials that they were originally going to use for their normal work.
This fabric is normally used to wrap up equipment when they go into the surgery centers.
So I love that he's doing this. And, you know, a lot of people have given flack to the president for not forcing manufacturing companies to do this kind of stuff. I thought over the weekend he succinctly pointed it out why.
The fact that I signed it, it's in effect. But, you know,
we're
a country not based on nationalizing our business. Call a person over in Venezuela. Ask them, how did nationalization of their businesses work out? Not too well.
He's not rushing to nationalize business. He's not rushing to tell these individual companies what to do. You know why? Because the companies are doing it themselves. And if we can err on the side of less overreach, I think we're ultimately going to be better off. When we come back, State Senator Doug Erickson's going to stop by. He's asking the governor to veto the single-use plastic bag ban. Why? He'll tell you. It's tied to the coronavirus when we come back. Welcome back to the Jason Rand Show on AM 770 KTTH and 94.5 FM on the Greater East Side. A number of studies have shown viruses and bacteria can survive on these reusable tote bags that were all taken to the grocery stores for up to 9 days. That has some implications as we try to slow down the spread of the coronavirus, not just here in Washington State, but across the entire country. And it's exactly why State Senator Doug Erickson of Ferndale wants the governor to veto a particular bill that can make the situation a lot worse. He joins me now. Doug, welcome back to the show.
Hey, you betcha. Thanks for having me on.
So what are you asking?
Well, Jason, one of the interesting things I think that's happening right now in Washington is we look back at the 2020 legislative session through the lens of the coronavirus and COVID-19. Makes a lot of the bills we pass seem almost outdated already, unnecessary. And kind of like, what were we thinking? When everything is going well, it's easy to pass bills and not really worry about the consequences of what that means. So last year, or this last legislative session, we passed a bill, the Democrats passed a bill, banning plastic bags in Washington State. And now what we're finding out is the plastic bag is one of the things that you want to use to help slow or stop the spread of the coronavirus. So I think that I'm asking Governor Inslee to veto the plastic bag ban bill that was passed by the legislature in 2020.
He's not going to do that, probably, right? So what's the next step?
We'll see. You know, I mean, if you take a look at it just today, Governor Inslee said shut down all the state parks. He's saying mm-hmm. we're going to have a shelter in place. He's taking very strong positions on trying to fight this virus. You know, some people can agree with some of the things he's doing. Some people would disagree, but he's taking a very strong stance. So I think this is something he should do to help us in the future.
Oh, I agree. He should
spread a virus.
Yeah, you are 100% right. He 100% should do it. But this is the environmentalist governor. Even though a lot of his policies haven't made the environment here in Washington State any better, he still likes to brand himself as that. And I wonder if that's going to get in the way of making the right decision in this case. And I don't know. The deal is he could just veto this bill and it would just be temporary. And my expectation is the Democrats, if they still have control, they come back in and they just pass the bill again.
yeah, we'll see. That could happen. It might not happen. People might be, looking at things differently now, though. You know, in a crisis like this tends to refocus, recalibrate how elected officials look at certain situations. Mm-hmm. And something that might have seemed great when everybody was, fat and happy, to use the expression, when things are going very well, all of a sudden there are a few hitches in the giddy-up, and people realize that many of the things that we take for granted, we shouldn't take for granted, like our public safety, our public health, the supply chain network. All of these things are take constant tending, and we need to be working on it. So I think bills like this show us that it's an overreaction, and it's things that we should not be doing here if we want to maintain our health and safety in the state.
We're talking about coronavirus safety in the state of Washington with State Senator Doug Erickson, Republican from Ferndale. Another issue I wanted to chat with you about, gun shops. Gun shops are deemed non-essential during this stay-at-home directive, and so they're going to be closed across the state starting later this evening. It's weird that you can't go to a gun shop, even though that's in part how one might exercise their gun rights, and yet elective abortions are permitted to move forward.
Yeah, something else in terms of that health double standard, and in terms of the abortion issue in Washington state. Also looking at medicinal marijuana shops are open. Mm-hmm. You would think that there'd be a way to allow for some type of a curbside delivery of your ammunition should you need to get some during this crisis that we're in. One of the things, Jason, we have to be very careful of as we work our way through this crisis, and politicians need to rise above partisanship and trying to inject an agenda into the situation. I think that, if we're going to close shops, should the gun shops be closed? I guess we could talk about that, but I mean, a lot of other shops who provide similar types of services would also have to be closed.
Yeah, just some sense of consistency.
Many of those aren't. Yeah, and we're seeing that happen. We saw it in D.C. with what was proposed for some of the stimulus packages, some of the frivolous things that were tried to be put into that package for partisan reasons. And now is the time when the people of Washington, America, want politicians not to be partisan, take care of fundamentals, recalibrate your partisan spectrum, so to speak, and focus on things that need to be done to stabilize the situation.
Have you seen that right now in the state of Washington?
I think we're doing better than we have in the past, and I think we're doing okay. At the time of crisis, interesting thing, Jason, it's much easier to govern during a time of crisis than in the recovery from the crisis, if you know what I mean. So once we come out of this COVID-19 crisis, and we will, that is when things are going to get very, very difficult in terms of how we try to manage our world markets, how we try to bring drug manufacturing back into America, what we're doing on our borders. There are going to be a lot of very difficult questions and a lot of different pieces of legislation we're going to have to deal with once we get done with this. So right now we're doing pretty good. It's much easier to govern during a crisis because it brings people together. Once we get out of it, things are going to get very dicey.
State Senator Doug Erickson from Ferndale joining me on the line. We're talking about the recovery efforts, or really for now, the health care impacts of coronavirus is happening all across the state of Washington. We're seeing individual hospitals saying they're still not necessarily getting all of the equipment that they need, the personal protective equipment. At the same time, the Trump administration saying it's on its way. Are you happy right now with the federal response?
I don't think we should ever be happy or complacent. We should always be trying to do better. But when you get to a crisis situation like this, you can't expect the stockpiles to be there for every unanticipated, event that could happen of this magnitude. So I think we're moving forward. We're moving in the right direction. And I think that is a very good thing in terms of the response that we're seeing right now, both at the state level and the federal level, with full understanding if you're going to have a nationwide epidemic, it's hard to stockpile. It's hard to plan for the 9.9 earthquake to have everything in place to be able to respond immediately.
How would you rate our level of preparedness in Washington state?
I think average with other states around the country,
yeah.
Which is fine. I mean, we need to focus in on which President Trump is doing a very good job of doing, being upbeat in terms of we're going to beat this and we're going to get the economy back on track and we're going to keep going forward. And one of the things, Jason, I also believe in is a division of labor when it comes to the response. So in my role as a state senator, I'm focusing in quite a bit on what happens after COVID-19. We're working on things right now to help people out. We've got to stabilize our business community, particularly our small businesses going forward so they can reopen when this is done. And I'm also encouraging everybody to listen to their local health authorities, their local governments in terms of what they're being told on how to interact with people and how to prevent the spread. But that's a very important part of what we need to do in this response also is to guide the labor, have people responding at different levels, but we need to have a very robust economic response in Washington State to help out those companies that are being decimated and the employees who are not receiving paychecks.
I want to follow up on your point of listening to the public health officials, which is something we've said on the show ad nauseum for the last couple weeks now. There are some folks in the audience on the conservative side who are saying the government has no right to tell you not to leave your house except for the essentials. And so what's your response to that?
It's a tough one. You know, I mean, I would tend to be more of a libertarian bent myself to what's going on. And I think people can leave their house, but they also have to be smart. They shouldn't be congregating. There's those pictures we saw up in Seattle with Rattlesnake Ridge, I think it was called.
Mm-hmm.
And
Alki
all the
Beach,
people, you know, gathering up there. That type of stuff probably shouldn't be happening for your own protection, your own safety, and the protection of others that you're going to come into contact with later. The hard part, Jason, is we don't know the true impacts and implications of this virus. You know, what's going to happen? We have to trust what we're hearing from health officials. I'm not a doctor. I can't speculate on those things. I need to listen to what these experts are saying and try to help my constituents be best prepared that they can, you know, to move forward with it. So I advise people to follow them. I do not feel comfortable ordering people to follow them, but I think a strong advisory is very warranted in this situation.
There you go. We've been talking with State Senator Doug Erickson, Republican from Ferndale. Thank you so much for stopping by. I really appreciate it.
You betcha, Jason. If we do the right thing, I think we'll come out of this thing stronger than we went in.
I sure hope so. I'm with you on that one. You're listening to The Jason Rantz Show. More coronavirus crisis coverage when we return right here on AM 770 KTTA.